Letters to Lelia, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 8, Nonlinear Time. Sister, did you finish the table placement cards? Sister Jessie asked Sister Benedict. I thought you said you needed them Wednesday, Sister Benedict replied. Today is Wednesday. Today is Monday. I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday. Sister Benedict looked at her calendar. It said Monday. Sister Jessie looked at hers. It said Wednesday. One of us must be losing her mind, Sister Benedict mumbled. And it surely isn't me, Sister Jessie replied. When did you last set the time on your device? You know as well as I do that we don't need to set the time, it sets itself, Sister Jessie protested. Obviously not, Sister Benedict pointed at the evidence. The devices clearly showed a two-day differential, not minutes, not hours, days. Have you asked Roberta? Sister Jessie inquired. Why would I ask Roberta? I was pretty sure it was Wednesday. Sister Benedict replied, it's Tuesday, Roberta replied through the interlink. Do you still need the table placement cards? Sister Benedict asked, forget the table placement cards, we need to make sure time is still linear. Sister Jessie commented, alarmed, I wonder if Roberta has any theories about this? Have you traveled anywhere by solenoid lately? I'm afraid it needs some fine-tuning, Sister Roberta intervened through the interlink. Why didn't I have a shadow of a doubt this had something to do with you, sister? Every time reality as we know it goes awry, you always seem to be involved somehow. I guess we should be grateful to still share the same universe, even though I'm 2 days ahead of Benedict. You're 1 day ahead, she's 1 day behind. My time is the right one, Roberta replied. I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat at the thought of you making your own time, sister. Jessie commented, exasperated. What if today was the day of the ceremony and she missed it? She is not 2 days behind, her clock is slow, Roberta clarified the incident. And if she was, I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing you do can surprise me anymore, sister. Jessie retorted, how can my clock be slow? I went through the solenoid with it, it should reflect my own passing of time? Sister Benedict asked, congratulations, you are now 2 days younger, not that it matters, anyway. Sister Roberta explained, who else used the solenoid during the last 3 days? Pretty much all of us, thank you for your concern, Sister Benedict answered. You mean to tell me it's not Friday? Sarah asked through the interlink. It's Tuesday. Roberta, Jessie and Benedict replied together, like a Greek choir. Oh, good Lord, my time is Wednesday too, which means I sent the list with the table arrangements to Vlor 1 day early. You can't imagine the commotion this is going to generate, they are going to involve every cloud to get to the bottom of it, and then push up the findings to the second and first circles, who are going to want to sit through a few meetings with me, to address their concerns. And I thought my life was difficult before. Lily agonized through the interlink. Don't panic, my dear, I'm sure everything is going to be just fine. And for your information, it's Tuesday, Sister Roberta offered her assistance. You know, all the things, I never thought that what day of the week we're in would be open for debate. This is an interesting surprise, Sister, Seth chimed in. It isn't actually open for debate. It's Tuesday, their clocks are wrong, Sister Roberta commented with scientific certainty. How can you be sure? Seth asked. The interlink went absolutely silent. Several minutes passed. Sister, are you still there? Seth asked. Yes. What's the problem? To tell you the truth, I'm not totally convinced it's Tuesday, Roberta observed casually. I told you we're all going to lose our blessed minds, and it finally came true. No worries, at least crazy is going to make my life here somewhat bearable, it is sheer torture to expect logic and causality out of you. Sister Joseph replied. Seth continued calmly, as if nothing happened. So, sister, do you think you might be able to figure out what day it is, before the ceremony? I'm pretty sure, Roberta said, unconvinced. Ah, I feel better already, she's pretty sure. Sister Joseph mocked. You know? I'd love to go to Solea so I can be as far away as possible from all of you, but I'd have to take the solenoid to get there. Yes, sister, you would, Roberta replied. One day that diabolical machine is going to turn us into frogs, you just wait and see, Sister Joseph continued foretelling doom. Yeah, Sister Roberta got lost in contemplating the possibility, if only for a moment. What? For? Count. Days. Life. Endless. Purple offered their wisdom. Here's a thought. Now that we got rid of that pesky linear, one-directional time, we should go for gravity next, I'm sure we could do without. Oh, wait. Been there, done that. Sister Joseph continued, provoked by the immortal's comments, "Not every being need time." Purple replied, "I'd still like to keep it, if it's all the same to you," Sister Joseph retorted. "Problem solved," Roberta announced proudly. "Turns out it was Wednesday after all. Your timepieces should be perfectly coordinated now." The sisters looked at their individual times and confirmed that, indeed, they coincided. Lily breathed a deep sigh of relief that she had been lucky enough to escape another bureaucratic nightmare. Sister Benedict gave Jesse the table placement cards and everybody went back to their business. "You know we're never going to be sure what day it is ever again, right?" Sister Jesse asked Benedict, upon departing. "Probably not," Sister Benedict answered calmly. Landing Bay, Terra 2, July 10, 3245. Dear Lelia, I just realized I almost forgot about this. It is strange how you start putting things out of your mind after a while. I guess we were not meant to span millennia, so the brain writes over old memories in an attempt to keep up. Hey, there's a research idea for Roberta, a human memory expander. I guess we could project our memories into the purple fields, if we could only work out the details. Sarah would be the best person to start evolving this concept. She already has a very rudimentary system in place. Forgive me, I got sidetracked. So, the story. We were preparing for a first contact mission with a distant civilization, way out into deep space, in a relatively obscure portion of the Perseus constellation, in proximity of Eta Persei. We only had limited contact with their culture, and from what we gathered from our short interactions from a distance, they didn't seem too friendly or eager to connect. This made the diplomatic work preceding the trip laborious and tense, pushing all of us to the end of our wits and tempers. 3 days before our scheduled departure, we received a lengthy communication from our counterparty, strangely expansive and familiar in tone, detailing an ongoing project in which we supposedly had been playing a significant role for a long time now. Sister Roberta analyzed the message from all angles, to make sure it was indeed addressed to us, and that it came from our friends-to-be, and was more puzzled than anything to recognize the structure of one of her latest ideas, one she hadn't had time to develop because of the feverish preparations for the trip and the tedious observance of protocol. To our subsequent dismay, she delved immediately into the details that had apparently been all worked out in the communique, and didn't bother to look for an explanation regarding this alleged shared history or the many details that shed light on our new allies' priorities, language and customs, details that could have been a treasure trove of wisdom in retrospect. Instead, she attached the message to our trip details the night before leaving, as an oddity if nothing else. Nobody could make sense of it, of course. We were all tense and exhausted and looked forward to a good night's sleep before a day we expected to be difficult. Nobody except Purple, who started babbling, accessing every bracelet and waking everybody up, speaking in a language nobody understood and which I could vaguely recognize as belonging to our soon-to-be-visited alien cultures. Purple babbled all night, or at least we think it was all night, given the fact that the invention of the time-slicing solenoid had made time a very relative concept indeed. When the suns came up, the immortals reverted their incomprehensible babble to single-word sentences: bring, live, tissue, samples, biolab, equipment, specs, generate, matter, composition, of, living, beings, subsistence, requirements, temperature, atmosphere, bioenergy, generation, physical, form, matter, state, space, time, resonance, signature, mandatory, requirement, please, provide, before, arrival. This announcement was made before the morning coffee, and half of the sisters mumbled under their breath against the irritating last-minute request. Sarah sweated over the message, because this is just the way she is. She never encountered a must she didn't comply with. I followed up with a request for information, just out of curiosity, and Sister Roberta really pored over the imperatives, trying to figure out if she input the wrong information into the solenoid. She asked for details about our target location, and before sending the message she attached Sarah's polite inquiry, which was a model of good manners and gentility, but made it obvious that she didn't have a clue what was required of her. We left, dressed up in our ceremonial attire, keen to put our best foot forward. A second later we were there. I looked around. When we left, the delegation was composed of myself, Roberta, Sarah, Novice, Mary Frances and Felix. When we arrived it was me, Roberta and Sarah. I was going to start panicking, but we were instantly submerged into this sea of thought, a modern Babylon where nobody ever kept quiet, a never-ending push and pull of information that could drive you mad. There didn't seem to be any way for us to interject a question or a greeting into this maelstrom of communication that went both over and through our heads, leaving behind pieces and parts of essential information, the way tide drops off seaweed and shells on the beach in the aftermath of a storm. Just like the sea, the torrent of information that generated these bits of data was murky and indistinguishable, bringing in a mix of specifications, cultural references, and completely random current events, also muddled together that none of us could rationally make heads and tails of them, especially while aching with anxiety over the fate of our sisters. After a few painful minutes, we figured out that the same murky tide that deposited information in our brains swept out mundane details in our lives, holidays and celebrations, research projects in progress, children's giggles, purple's babble, images of lore and its eternal mists. In less than half an hour, we were completely drained, more emptied of thoughts and emotions than a squeezed bottle of jam. As if notified, the Tower of Babel went quiet. We were dispatched to the solenoid and shipped back unceremoniously to Terra 2. I managed to catch my breath, and of course the first words that came out of my mouth were meant to express concern over the fate of our missing sisters. If only they were missing, but they weren't. They were standing with us right there on the platform, looking a lot less tired and confused than us. Sister Felix started the verbal barrage. Where were you? We were worried sick. You don't even know what you've been missing. The planet is spectacular, but completely uninhabited. After a little poking around, we're pretty sure there were no signs of intelligent life, lower life forms, yes, but definitely no trace of our hosts. We're covered from head to toe in this gelatinous goo in the atmosphere. It goes into any cavity, pardon my French, I'm sure we breathed it, ingested it and absorbed it through our skin. We really need Sarah to run a diagnostic to make sure it's not harmful. I lifted my hand to stop the verbal deluge, too drained to speak and trying to regain my bearings. The solenoid must have misfired. I gawked morosely at Sister Roberta, who looked outraged by such a concept and refused to dignify it with an answer. Whoever has any energy left, please record our meeting. Everybody else rest. We'll go back tomorrow. Sister Felix, Novice and Mary Frances were little bundles of energy and followed our painfully tired selves around until we had to forcibly turn them away. The next morning we repeated the experiment, which went exactly like the one the day before, only upon arrival we were instantly made aware that we could understand the waves and currents of communications flowing around us from all directions, as well as some already started common projects that we were able to coordinate, even though we didn't know they even existed the day before. Before leaving, I spent a few minutes to catch up with one of the entities. We could never figure out if they were individuals or groups, with whom I seemed to have forged a long-standing friendship, and asked details about a way of life I couldn't possibly understand. Just like before, when our minds started spinning out of control under the surge of information, we got packed up and sent back home. Again, it had been just the three of us and Felix, Novice and Mary Frances split to a different timeline. They looked very energetic and much slimier than the day before, and they argued with us for over an hour whether it was them or us who really made it to the planet. They had been met by an entire delegation, all pomp and circumstance, and established lines of communication with the strange species, amoeba-like in appearance, through a frequency translator the hosts already had for some reason. They brought back all these plans that we supposedly worked on before and apparently had made great progress. The sisters thought it would be rude to contradict our new friends, first impressions and all. This spliced reality show went on for a few weeks, during which we always visited the same large hall where flows of information filled our heads, while our more adventurous sisters, who were not time-locked, experienced every developmental stage of the planet and its inhabitants, running randomly through the planet's history forwards, backwards and sideways. The most interesting part of this experiment was that they weren't confused by the moving through time and managed to put the puzzle back together in the proper order, while we, the static ones, couldn't make any sense of it, other than the obvious fact of that our time and real time didn't overlap. After a few days we figured out why they asked for the spacetime resonance signature, but our hosts seemed to be able to patch the data together from the many different timelines our alternate delegation managed to land in and blend it seamlessly with ours. I'm not even sure they have a concept of linear time. I guess they exist and travel in time coordinates just like we do in space. Over the length of our interaction, we exchanged countless messages, and just for my personal enjoyment, I kept them scrambled in time, in the order they were received. Some have references to events in my life that will not happen for a few centuries yet. It is a little disorienting to look at your own life from outside of time. We're not built for it, you know, one of the many things I never expected could happen to me. We looped forward some of the scientific breakthroughs, we thought might as well, since we've already seen them ahead of their time. I don't know whether we violated whatever time travel laws there are, but so far no paradoxes. I made long-standing friendships among the beings of this culture, and I miss them dearly. As far as this present moment is concerned, they may never have existed, their species mightn't have evolved to sentience yet, or their civilization may be long gone. I could probably send random messages, hoping that one of them hits the correct time stream. If the message reaches them, they could stabilize a time channel for me, but I hesitate to do it. I don't know why. My friend, her name is Awel, she belongs to the Southern Protectorate, she's witty and brave, loves Lapa rhymes, and I know her almost as well as I know Sarah, and it is impossible for me to understand how she even exists in the time streams, or what physical form she has evolved to right now. All I can do is think of her living endlessly in the present. Bull gave me a gift for you, they call them resonators, it's some sort of musical instrument, only it reverberates outside the audible range. I just thought I should let you know before the ceremony, she will be attending. I didn't want you to be surprised that she already knows you. If only I knew what she's going to look like. Love, Benedict.